We're going to turn things around a little bit. I'm going to share the word with you, and then we got some other things that will be going on, our communion. So those of you that are listening online, get ready. Get your grape juice. Get your wafer. And we're going to serve communion and celebrate the Lord's sacrifice for us. He said, do this. Do this in remembrance of me. I want to invite you to a scripture today. I'm going to talk about the highest priority. Why you need priorities in your life and why you should govern your life based on kingdom priorities. Mark chapter 12 is where we find our scripture for today, verses 28 through 31. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Talking about highest priority. You may be seated. Bring me down a little bit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your grace and love. We thank you for your power, your awesome goodness. I pray that you would just use me now. Help me to bring forth that which you've given me in study. May I present now in public to bring you glory and honor. I pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. So the question is, what is a priority? How would you rate one? How would you say that this is a priority? Now, I want to tell you something. Every one of us have priorities. And I'm going to show you how. One, let me look at your checkbook. And I'll tell you what your priorities are. Just taking a look at what you and how you spend your money, I will tell you what is important in your life. Another thing I can do to test what your priorities are, how do you spend your time? People say, well, I love the Lord. Well, do you spend time with him? If you love somebody, you're going to spend time with them. So how would you rate a priority? What would be the criteria to say that this is more important than this? Now, as I take you through this text today, we've got to be mindful of the scripture that has been given to us. This scribe was really searching. He wanted to know, Jesus, what's most important? When I look at the commandment of God, and you see in Israel, everything flowed around the commandment of God. Either you kept it or you didn't. They were devoted to God. They were committed to the law of the Lord. And so he, knowing that Jesus was a teacher, came to him and said, okay, Jesus, I heard you answering these folk, and you gave them some good answers. They may not have gotten it, but you gave them some good answers. Now, I want you to give me an answer. What's most important when it comes to God? Here's what Jesus said. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. In other words, you can't have multiple gods. Only one. And then he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. The second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Look at somebody, tell them that's love. So we have, according to Jesus, the priority. This is most important. He said that to the scribe. This is most important. And it's what we need today. God's word hasn't changed. Come on. It's the same yesterday, today, same as Jesus. He is the Word of God. Hadn't changed. We have priorities. Now, I'm going back and I'm looking at this text and I'm asking myself, what is the highest priority in my life? Remember, we gave you two criteria. One is money. The other is time. I'm going to get to that in just a minute, and we'll apply that in a little bit. But what is causing us in this generation that we're living in, what's causing us to not set and keep the right priorities? Now, I want to tell you something. Now, when you don't have priorities, anything goes. People say, well, I don't know whether I can make the Lord the highest priority of my life. Well, you're going to accept everything else and not God, the one who gives you the next breath, the one who makes sure that your heartbeat is on time? You mean you're going to make him a lesser priority when he put food on your table? Come here, Grandma, and talk to these folk in here. He put food on my table. He woke me up this morning. You know the story. You know what God did to you. Death was circling your bed, said, I want to claim him. God said, no, not today. You ain't going there today. They belong to me, and today they shall live and not die. Look at somebody and say, I'm alive. God's grace. God is your highest priority. People who live true to the highest priority not only achieve their goal, but they also please God. If you want to know the progressive people in God's kingdom, those are the ones that said, God, you're the top. You're everything I need. Yeah, God, you're my all in all. And I want to make sure that you get all. That's your high priority. So this question that we have before us, what is a good priority? Why can't we in this generation seem to set a good priority? I'll give you three things that I call barriers. Things that get in the way of you really setting this priority to serve God. Number one, deception. You're in an age now of great deception. When the disciples came to Jesus in Matthew 24 and they asked him, Lord, tell us what the sign will be of your return and when the end of the world will come. And Jesus said, here you go. Here's the key to it. Deception. He said, don't you be deceived, because people are going to be lying to you. Some will come to you and say, I'm Christ. Follow me. Jesus said, take heed and do not be deceived. We're in an age now where there are people are making false claims, false truths, and everything else, and saying, no, that's not the truth. What I'm telling you is the truth. And yet Jesus said, the truth is the gospel. The truth is the word that I speak to you. The truth is that which sets you free. Don't be deceived. And in our language, we said, don't buy the hype. Now, why is it that people are trying to deceive you? And you've got one of the most deceptive devices that you carry around with you all the time, the smartphone. You don't just have a phone that you call somebody and talk to them. You have a phone that will talk to you even when you don't want it to. Your phone will say, did you say something? So now at your fingertips, you have the world coming at you, giving you information, whether it's invited or not. They can hear your conversation. Next thing you know, you got ads on your phone. But everything that comes in your inbox, everything that you read on Facebook or Instagram and all of these other sources, it does not mean that it is true. There might be the abundance of information, but you got to ask yourself, is this the right information and do I need to act on it? Because some things that you hear are not just, they're just not important. And Jesus sorted through all of that. And he said, this is important. You love God with everything you got. Give him your mind. Give him your soul. Give him your heart. Because really, he owns it all anyway. Give it to God. And know that you'll have a good priority. Second thing that we face, though, is distractions. We are what you might call an ADHD society. It's hard for us to stay focused. Not only is it distracted, but now you got the phone ringing, then one right by your side. By the way, I turn mine off at night. If y'all want to get in touch with me, you're going to have to come knock on my door. Come and knock on my door. Because I turn it off. I want to get some sleep. Because I ain't going to be no good for you or me if I don't get some rest. You want to see grumpy? Watch me when I don't get my rest. My wife be praying, Lord, make him go to sleep. But distractions are everywhere. And just because something might be newsy, it does not mean that it's grace. Doesn't mean that it's God-breathed. What you want to do is catch the breath of God. What we call the pneuma. I'll get into that in just a second. But the Spirit comes to give you life. And if he comes to give you life, then you've got to ask, Lord, if you're going to breathe into me, and if you're going to resuscitate me in this messed up world, you don't want me to use my energy going here and there and being blown about with every wind of doctrine and everything that comes my way. You want me to be focused. Everybody say focused. Okay, so you go to your doctor, and they'll ask you to read a chart. How many of y'all know that? Here you go, you squinting and blinking. Can you read it? Yeah, I can read it. I think it's a P. And then they add these little lenses, right? They bring in a lens and they say, now can you see? Oh, yeah. It was an R. That's focus. When Jesus speaks to you, he wants you to not be distracted, but listen to me. Listen to me. Evidently, God must not be important for a lot of folk because, you know, well, I would go to church, but you know, we got this COVID. I call it COVIDity. COVIDity. You can go to Walmart. You can go every place else. I may catch COVID, COVIDity. A lot of things that impact us. And even when you put it online, you know, you put it out there. Okay, can't come check, go put on. It's on Facebook. You stream, you can live stream Crossroad. 2 years ago, we wouldn't, what's streaming? You wouldn't water somewhere? We wouldn't know what it was. Now you can live stream Crossroad. Well, I can't live stream because it ain't like the real thing. You suffering from COVIDity. I made up a new word. I'm like Jesse Jackson. I'm going to make up new words. COVIDity. You cannot allow things that happen to you to get you distracted from doing what God told you to do in the first place. Because the same God that told you what to do will also give you the power and the how to do. Stay focused. Don't be deceived. Don't be distracted. And like a preacher, I got to have 3 D's, right? So the last one is distress. Well, I would do, but now I got this problem. I got a corn on my toe. My knee ain't acting right. And I would make God and serving God my highest priority, but you know, I'm just old now. I'm just old. Old is only what you tell yourself. Amen? Because the next step after being old is out of here. And if you ain't ready to get out of here, you better act your age. Amen? If God gives you strength, again, going back to the pneuma, the breath of God, if God breathed into you and told you to live today, why are you going around with your head all hung down? allowing the burdens of this world to become greater than the God you serve. That's what happens when you allow stress and distress to take up the throne space in your heart. And that's one that's reserved for God Almighty. Distress, distractions, and deception. They can keep you from setting your priority of serving the Lord. Back in the day, we'd sing songs like, "Got to serve the Lord until I die. Got to serve." Y'all remember that? Now, whatever you need to update that song and get it right, you need to keep singing it. Because you need a gleam in your eye. You need hope in your heart. You need a song in your heart because it'll keep you going in tough time. Why do you think the choir sings to you? It's an encouragement. Why do you think the music is here? It's an encouragement. Why do you think we preach to you? It's an encouragement. Set your priority. Know what your priorities are. I'm going to give you three examples. Why priority is the greatest thing that you can do. People who don't set priorities get nowhere with God. And if you don't make your highest priority God, ladies and gentlemen, by default, you've already elected the devil. He's in office now. He can tell you what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. But when you say, "God, you're the most important thing in my life," then comes my family, what you gave me. Then comes the believers, the fellow believers, and how we worship together. I'm going to encourage them because you are my highest priority. You're the one that gave me my breath. And Lord, I'm going to serve you. Can you make that commitment? Say it with me. Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you. For the rest of my life, I'm going to serve you. Here's how you do it. Number one, this thing works out mathematically. Jesus gave us an equation right here in this scripture. He gave us an equation. You say, "Well, preacher, what is it?" All right, here, let me read it. You read it in your Bible so you can see it too. Amen? "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with..." Look at the word "all." That's a mathematical term. All. Reverend Gibbons would say, all is all. And that's all means. Watch this now. When you love God with all your mind, with all your heart, and with all your soul, there's nothing left. I wrote the equation down. All minus all equals nothing else. So you say, mathematically, I've given God all. That means I don't have anything left for the devil. Watch this. If you only give God half, don't expect the other half to work right. That's why when my car give me problems, I said, "God, your problem, your car is giving you some problems here." And Miss Bunny, when something go wrong in our house that we got, I said, "Lord, this is your house." And sure enough, the Lord comes through. When this old body gets to where it won't act right, I said, "Lord, this is the body you gave me. I've given you all." Mathematically, this thing works out because you've committed everything to God. Let me give you a good example. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I know we use them every time in church. They probably going to get, we get to heaven, they say, "Why y'all kept calling us up?" They give you some good examples. They gave God all. They said to the king who wanted them to bow down to his golden idol, "We can't bow down because we've given Jehovah all. We're not going to bow down to your God because that's not a God. And even if it was a God, we got the God we want and he's all right with me. We're going to serve God." So I don't know which one spoke first, but Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego said, "Our God is able." They had given him all, and guess what? When they threw them into the fiery furnace, the Babylonians were saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, y'all are history." They said, "No, we just got started." Because guess what? When you give God your all, and when you are all in with God, God said, "Well, if you all in with me, I'm going to be all in with you." wherever you go in life, I'm going to be right there with you. And when they got thrown into the fire, guess what happened? The fourth man showed up. Some of you are looking for God to show up in your life. He's looking for you to show up in His service. He's looking for you to show up in loving somebody. He's looking for you to show up in how you treat one another. God's looking for you to show up in prayer. He's looking for you. Amen. Don't look at the choir and say, y'all praise Him. You get up and you praise Him yourself. If He's all right with you, lift your hands and say, thank you. Are you all in? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I'm all in, God. And because I'm all in, it doesn't matter what's going to cost me. I know if I'm all in, God, You are the one that brought me this far. And my grandma said, the same God that brought you this far is going to keep you every day of your life. Give the Lord a hand clap today. Amen. All right, so mathematically, this thing works out. You give Him all. Love the Lord God, thy God with all. Not with half, not with three-fourths. Another song where you sing 99 and a half ain't going to do. All right, give Him all. Watch Him give you His all. But not only does it work out mathematically, and you know us preachers, we got to come up with stuff that rhyme. It works out pragmatically. Pragmatic means, you know, it's practical. It's practical. Just good for you to do that. The philosopher William James, he was probably known for his pragmatism and talking about the things that work in life. And here's the thing, church. If you're riding a horse and it dies, get off of him. Don't tell him giddy up. It's a dead horse. Now watch this. I'm going to put it in place. I'm going to put it in pragmatism. I'm going to make it work. I'm going to make it work. Why in the world are we still trying to do stuff that we did back way long? Well, we ain't never done that before. Look at somebody tell them it's a dead horse. I said I won't go preach this morning, but y'all making me. Anytime you have change, you have discomfort. Anytime you're moving forward, expect new things to happen. It's called progress. Are we going to make mistakes? Yes. But thank God, in your mistakes, you have given God all mathematically, and He's going to make it work for His glory. There are people waiting on the sidelines, cheering against you. But God in glory got some witnesses. They're cheering for you. When everybody else trying to stone your reputation, stone you and call you everything but a child of God, up in glory, God said, you all right with me because I got your all. And if God's got your all, He's got your back. Let me give you another story. Abraham. Come here, Abraham. Abraham's going to talk to us and talk about giving God all. You talk about loving God. 75 years old, almost the age my wife and I are at. God spoke to them, said, I don't like where you live in. I want you to move out and go to a land that I'm going to show you. God, you got a map? Nope. I got faith. I'm going to give you faith, and you're going to give me your obedience. Don't tell God, Lord, you got my all if you are not obeying Him. You got to obey Him. Abraham obeyed, and the Bible said that he went out. But then he came in to the land which the Lord had given him. Here's the other thing. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Abraham, I'm going to give you, matter of fact, since you're obeying me, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. When Isaac was born, the beginning of that promise being fulfilled, God spoke to Abraham when Isaac was yet a young boy and said, take your son, your only son, sacrifice him at Mount Moriah. Make him a burnt offering. What did Abraham do? And remember, if you got all, if God's got all of it, that means ain't a whole lot left for you. Sometimes God will tell you things that does not make sense. but it makes faith. Do you trust him? Are you willing to say, well, Lord, I'm going to give you all. Well, keep stepping. Look at what I tell him. Keep stepping. I can only imagine the closer he got to Mount Moriah, his feelings were saying, I don't like this. This doesn't feel good. But Abraham, being now well over 100 years, I done trusted God this far. I put my trust in him and I am not going back now. If he said, do it, count it done. The Lord had to stop him from sacrificing his son. Why? Because he was all in. Look at somebody tell him, are you all in? And the Lord may not ask you to sacrifice your son because he's already given us the perfect sacrifice, so don't try to duplicate it. Do not try to duplicate what Christ has already done. But what you can do, if you're all in, give him all your energy. Give him all your praise. Give him all your glory. Give him your prayers. You can never pray enough, you can never praise enough, and you can never proclaim enough. Those things will always be something that you can always do. Well, I done prayed enough for today. You sure about that? The Bible says pray always. And you sure can't praise him enough. Every time I turn around, Lee, he done blessed me one more time. I'm trying to count the blessing, and he keeps adding and multiplying. And I'm saying, Lord, I can't keep up with you. Because he blesses you over and over again. I wish I had a mirror where you could look at yourself and see how blessed you are. I wish I had a mirror where I could show you how far the Lord has brought you. Kept you a long time. Been good to you every step of the way. Even when you were in your lowest valley and you felt like you had lost everything, God said to you, you still got me. I close with the third thing that we need to look at. Not only does it add up mathematically and it's something we can practice, but Joe, here I come with this big word. It's a matter of pneumatics. Y'all write that down. You don't spell it with the N first. You spell it with a P-N-E-U. The pneuma in the Greek means breath, to breathe out. Watch this. God understands you being out of breath. How many of y'all old folk now, and you can't climb hills, can't run as fast, can't jump over stuff as fast. As a matter of fact, you get... Spiritually, this life will wear you out. But you got a resuscitator. You got a way maker. You've got a pneuma. The breath of God will come to you and he will revive you. We just come out of revival and y'all may not have got it. You might have said, oh Lord, we got to go to church all these 5 nights. But every night I got me some pneuma. I got me some breath. God breathed on me and I'm alive today. Give the Lord a hand clap. Jesus understood that what we would go through life, and there was no way possible for us to give God all unless he helped us. He said, so I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you a, here's another Greek word, paraclete. I just remembered it from theology. Don't ask me to spell it. But when he said it's one called alongside, I said, that's all right with me. That stuck. Because every moment of your life, the Holy Spirit of God is walking right there with you. When you get to a place in life, Lord, what should I do? Talking about priority. Here's the way. Walk in it. He'll speak to you. God opens up this word in such a way. He said, Lord, I never saw that verse today. No, you just saw it for the first time in realization of where you are in your journey. That's when God begins to speak to you. The pneuma. Say pneuma. See, y'all speaking Greek, all right? The breath of God. The breath of God embraces you. Have you ever been lonely? Lonely times in your life. You can have company all around you, still be lonely. You're lonely, but you're not alone. Because the one who holds you in the palm of his hand breathes on you. and said, I want you to rise. Have you ever been heartbroken? Anybody ever been heartbroken? God takes that same breath and says, no, this has happened, but it's not going to destroy you. I didn't bring you this far to leave you now. And so he breathes into us. God tells us something to do, and we said, Lord, I don't have the strength. God said, you don't have the strength, but I'm getting ready to give it to you. He breathes into us. What I want you to do today, I want you to take in the Spirit. Say, God, don't just breathe on me, breathe in me. The Bible says in Genesis, the Lord breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. The only way that your soul can live and breathe and move forward is that God has to give you breath. He has to give you life. And that's not just any life. The Greeks did their best to describe it, and they called it Zoe, which means fullness of life. Everything that you could add into it, God put it in there. I'm telling you, heaven opens up when he breathes into you, and you can say, Lord, I can make it now. I'm facing sickness, I'm facing trials, got family problem, got financial difficulty, but because you are breathing into me, I am going to live, and I'm going to serve you. I close with the final illustration. David, a young boy, went out to the battlefield, not knowing the outcome and not knowing the situation. He's on the battlefront and he hears this giant by the name of Goliath and is taunting Israel. Come out and fight. Come out and fight. Your God is nothing. Come out and fight. And David is watching the response of people in the camp of Israel. They'd go out and line up, but as soon as the giant come back, they would retreat. Oh man, I can't face that. And David started questioning, wait a minute, is there a cause? Don't we have a reason for questioning? Why is he getting away with this? Remember, David was all in. He had the anointing of God, but he didn't know what the anointing would accomplish. And you and I will never know God's anointing on our life until you use it. It ain't for just you getting up in church shouting, I got the anointing, I got the... No. It means something else. It means you had to walk this thing. Long story short, he was all in. Nobody else stood up except him. Because when you're all in, God is all in you. And he becomes your all. He's the pneuma. Little guy. Probably my height. Maybe looked a lot like me, maybe a little lighter. Little guy, going up against a 9-foot giant. And David said, no problem, because he was all in. He was not looking at himself and his slingshot. He was looking at God. And God said, you can do it. Oh, yes, you can. God said to him, David, if you go, I'm going with you. And before you leave here today, take this word in. Wherever you go with God, God said, I'm going with you. Moses said, Lord, I'm going to Egypt. God said, I'm going with you. Wherever you go in life, God is with you. And if God says, you're my priority, who in the world are you to give God a back seat? Who in the world are you talking about? God is my co-pilot. You better get out of that seat and you get overside him. Yes, let him breathe into you and you become that living soul that God can use for his glory. What's the greatest commandment? Love God with everything you got. Because when it came to what he loved and who he loved in heaven, you were his number one priority, and you still are. Look up to God, give him a hand clap. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank and we bless you. We praise you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the message of helping us to set priorities and to know what those priorities mean. To know that you didn't bring us this far to leave us, and you are yet with us. And someone may be pondering, Lord, how do I give my all to God? It's simply by praying and confessing, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I'm a sinner and I'm hopeless without you. But Lord, you come in and you abide with me. And God will do just that because he made salvation his highest priority. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the people said, amen, amen. I'm going to give the invitation. There may be one today that you're saying, Pastor, today you really spoke to my heart, and I want to make God my highest priority. Maybe you've been visiting with us, and you decided, well, Pastor, I want to join with you all at Crossroads. Now's the time. Now's the time to commit. Let's all stand. Invitation is given. Doors of the church are open. Whosoever will, let him come. If you're online, you can't come down to the altar, but what you can do is to write us, pastor@crossroadbc.com, and we'll be glad to get back with you, pray with you, and ask God to bless you.